Psalm 67, 1 to 7, Handling Satanically Influenced Parties. Reverend Franklin Graham recently claimed that every demon from hell has been turned loose in our culture today. He was at a Christian media convention when he made that statement. I believe it was last Monday, if I'm not mistaken. And the evidence for such satanic activity seems to abound today. Sandra Slack Glover recently withdrew her name as a nominee for the state Supreme Court, for she faced certain rejection by the legislature for signing a letter in 2017 in support of Amy Coney Barrett, the conservative destined to play a pivotal role on the Supreme Court in ending a woman's federal right to an abortion. So most of our state legislators view any Supreme Court justice who voted to end the federal right to kill babies as a bad person. The culture wars in the United States over sexual preferences, gender IDs, transgender rights have engulfed politics and school campuses, including some Christian schools. Houghton University, a Christian university in western New York, fired two former dorm directors for attaching gender identities to their work email signatures in violation of school policy, and 16 plaintiffs are suing Seattle Pacific University, a Christian liberal arts college, to challenge its employment policy barring people in same-sex relationships from full-time jobs. As for the national debt, Congress and President Biden, like his predecessors, enjoy distributing goodies without having to make current taxpayers pay for them, the burden, of course, being placed on future generations and even other countries, which the U.S. government pressures to finance this country's debt. Special Counsel John Durham's report destroys legitimacy in the FBI. It implicates former President Barack Obama, President Joe Biden, James Clapper, John Brennan, and others in weaponization of the government to stop Donald Trump. In the 177th session of Congress, 78 of the 535 members violate and have violated the Stop Trading on Congressional Knowledge Act, that's called STOCK for short, of 2012, that limits insider trading and requires disclosure of trades by members, spouses, and dependent children within 45 days. Members of both parties violate the act, fines are small, and attempts to tighten the rules have been futile. However, six people in our church, each from different families, have recently, in the last, I would say, 3 weeks, told of oppression they or others in their family have personally faced, raising the question of satanically influenced parties at a personal level. In fact, I think last Sunday I had three different people comment about this. So we ask, do we face satanically influenced people today? How do we know? And how can we handle it? I want to read Psalm 67, and then we'll start with that. It's only seven verses long. Psalm 67, this is Psalm. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth and thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall revere him. Psalm 67, verse 1 through 7, asks God to keep blessing Israel, that the pagan nations around her that worshiped demons might learn about God and trust in him, that they also might experience his salvation, his justice, his bounty, and so praise him. We know that the nations that worship demons, that we're told in Psalm 106, verses 33 to 41, that the pagans in that day did. In fact, Israel actually yielded to the influence of paganism, and she started worshiping demons as well. Well, Psalm 67, verse 4, which is the heart of this psalm, explains how God graciously produces this spiritual fulfillment. The psalmist noted that the pagan Gentiles who came to believe in the Lord would be glad and sing for joy because two things. Number one, God judged them righteously. Number two, He governed the nations on earth. Now, the word govern needs to be retranslated. The Hebrew word for govern is nahah, and it means the conducting of one along the right path. And it's used of God in the Psalms, and it means far more than guidance when used of God, but that God be before them showing the way of righteousness. Very different from just guiding a person. God is right in front of them, teaching and instructing and showing people the way. So God spiritually fulfills even demonically influenced pagans when they trust in him. For he makes just judgments for them and leads them on the path they need to take to live rightly. And that is, he disciples them. I know this works from firsthand experience. I have a Bible, my Hebrew Bible. It was given to me by a man from Africa by the name of Dr. Biancato. He started out in life as the son of a witch doctor. We say in our world today, a shaman. That's how he started out. And he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior when a missionary lady came through his tribe, his village, and led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He eventually became trained, and he went to Dallas Theological Seminary and got his doctorate there. And it was because of Dr. Cato that I actually got into Dallas Seminary, because he pulled for me. He was getting his doctorate. And he gave me his Hebrew Bible. He was going to go into a different realm of service for the Lord. And so I have his Hebrew Bible. He has his name in it, and I treasure it to this day, and I use it as my chief Bible. But this man came from a home where they worshipped evil spirits, and he became... got his doctorate at Dallas Theological Seminary. His eyes were open, and he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. So I know from first hand this works. Boy, can God disciple anybody. So the lesson is God wanted Israel to live rightly, that he might bless her as a witness to even demon-worshipping peoples, that they too might trust in him to be blessed. And God would then justly judge and disciple them in righteousness. A short psalm, but extremely important. So the first thing in application we need to do before we get into the conclusion section, we need to trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. I hope everyone here has made that decision, but just in case you haven't, I need to let you know that the Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us have come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That's eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. But God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh. He came down to the earth and he died on the cross in your place and in my place for our sin. He died, he was buried, he bodily rose again from the dead. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He now intercedes at the Father's right hand for those who believe in him. If a person believes in Christ as his Savior, he's forgiven his sins, he's spiritually born into the family of God, and he's given eternal life. And he has that eternal life forever and ever. If you haven't made the decision to believe in Christ, I would encourage you to do so today. The only chance that we have to believe in Christ is in this life. Once this life is over, whatever decision we did or didn't make is locked in. So please make that decision, because no one knows how long he's going to live in this life. And number two, may we follow God's leading through Scripture in being discipled by him for spiritual fulfillment, regardless if we might face even satanically influenced people today. Now we're going to apply this to the issue that we brought up in our sermon introduction. Since Scripture is the vehicle that God uses today to disciple us, according to 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, we view Scripture for God's nahah. That's his discipling of us, to discern and to handle even satanically influenced people that we might face. Incidentally, the information that I'm giving you here, I have used extremely a lot. Let me put it that way. It's a bad sentence. I've used it a lot as a pastor because I have faced a lot of challenges in the spiritual realm. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 in the King James Version predicted that in the latter days of the church, or church history, perilous times would come. And the word perilous translates the Greek word kalipos. And that here means hard, difficult, or times of stress. This word is used elsewhere in Scripture in one other passage, only in Matthew 8:28, to describe the ferocity of two demon-possessed men. And in the wide 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20-39 context, Paul addressed conflicts that Timothy would face as a pastor, even in the local church, with people who were under Satan's influence. Now, the Bible tells us that even a Christian can become under Satan's influence. And of course, unsaved people are under Satan's influence all the time. Well, James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1-9 reveal that people who are influenced by Satan are marked by certain characteristics. Here they are: envy, selfish ambition, love of self or self-centeredness, love of money, arrogance, pride, slander, disobedience to parents, ungrateful, being profane, loveless, irreconcilable, blasphemous, lacking self-control, untamed, despising the good, traitorous, reckless, conceited, loving pleasures more than God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, controlling others, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth, and opposing God's messengers by trying to discredit them. Sound familiar? We live in a world that is full of this. When we identify from this list one who is influenced by Satan, God directs us in 2 Timothy 3:5 to turn away from him or her. The Greek verb is apotrepo, and it means turn away from or to avoid. The verb is spelled in the text as apotrepu, which is the present imperative in the middle voice. So the turning away or avoiding action is to occur to the degree that one needs to do so for his or her personal, mental, emotional, and spiritual welfare. Let me explain. Let's say you have a person who might be a relative who's under the control of the evil one this way. And if you may have to meet with them because the family gets together, they may be much more ferocious or problematic if you're alone with them, so you don't meet with them alone, but only with the family, that kind of a thing. Sometimes you can't even meet with them with the family. Now, God promises in 2 Timothy 3:9 that the folly of those who are influenced by Satan will eventually become evident to everyone. And that's because sin, like righteousness, given enough time, makes itself obvious in one's life. Paul mentioned this in 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25. All you have to do is wait, and it will surface. However, in turning away or avoiding satanically influenced people, we must heed the call of 2 Timothy 2:22 in the broad 2 Timothy 2:20-3:9 context to follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, the word with renders the Greek preposition meta, but here it's in the genitive case, meaning we should function in the company of, that's what meta means in the genitive, function in the company of others who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, this action implies spending time in the presence of other God believers that we might fellowship with them. This is one reason why meeting together in a local church is so important. It helps enormously in regards to the angelic conflict. We do need to meet together with others of like faith. However, we must especially note that Paul's words in 2 Timothy 2:20-3:9 context refer to trials that Timothy would face in the local church where people opposed his pastoral ministry. That's 2 Timothy 2:24-25. Now, Jesus explained the spiritual dynamics of this situation in Matthew chapter 13, 1-43, the parables of the kingdom of heaven there. In our era, people in churches will respond in various ways to the ministry of God's word, with some being hardened against the truth, that's called hard ground in Matthew 13, 19, others being stony ground, that means they turn away from the truth due to hardships, Matthew 13, 20-21, others being weedy ground. That's they turn from the truth due to the distractions of anxiety or materialism. That's Matthew 13:22. And others will be responsive to the word, but in varying degrees, based on their degrees of spiritual victory over Satan, the sin nature, and the worldliness. In Matthew 13:23, some of the people are likened to ground that produces 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. So there are varying degrees of spiritual fruitfulness because there's varying degrees of openness to the word. Now, taking advantage of the presence of spiritually weak or carnal, carnal is a theological word, means people who are controlled by their sin natures. Carnal believers who do not respond well to the ministry of God's word, Satan will plant unbelievers in the midst of such believers in churches. And such unbelievers will deceptively fit in with carnal believers since both groups function by means of their sinful natures. In practice, it's impossible to tell the difference between an unsaved person and a carnal Christian because they're both operating by the same sin nature. God will not quickly remove the satanic plants, lest doing so upset the discipling of new or weak believers, but he will eventually remove Satan's plants in the final judgment. That's the parable of the tares, or if you have the New International Version or English Standard Version, the word tares actually means weeds. Local churches impacted by Satan's embedded unbelievers and satanically influenced carnal believers will become a huge conglomerate that is inhabited by satanically influenced people along with godly believers. That's the parable of the mustard seed. And you notice in the mustard seed, the birds of the air come and dwell in it. And the birds of the air back in the first parable were Satan. So this we're talking about people who are actually influenced by Satan in Christendom. That's why Christendom today has a tremendous amount of error in it, because you've got a huge number of people who are actually under the control of Satan. And satanically influenced unbelievers and carnal believers will introduce false teaching from the world into local churches. Parable of the leaven in Matthew 13:33. As Satan tries to upset Bible teachers who disciple people there so as to influence them to quit the ministry. There is a tremendous amount of Marxist ideology that is infiltrating evangelical churches right now. And we've already talked about this and preached on it, but there are some pastors that are buying into Marxism completely. You find it in terms of social justice is a catch term that actually represents Marxism. It's all over the place. Well, that's a problem. But God has a solution. God's solution to this extensive problem is for godly Bible teachers and leaders in local churches to understand Satan's work as well as God's plan in the local church, and to realize the huge spiritual stakes involved in discipling people in the church so that they stay faithfully ministering or supporting the ministry of God's word there regardless of the trials they face in ministry. Matthew 13:44-52. Bob Sahlstrom, who used to be the alumni secretary at Dallas Theological Seminary, told my father one time that he had a stack of letters on his desk, 18 inches high, from former graduates of Dallas Seminary who had sent a letter saying, please get me another church, anyone but here. That's because they were running into this activity of Satan. And that's a situation we have to deal with. Now in this passage, Matthew 13:44-52, Christ directed Bible teachers to invest all of their resources, these would be financial resources, physical resources, mental resources, in acquiring priceless Old Testament and New Testament truths to teach to God's people for their discipleship. The buried treasure of Matthew 13:44 is Old Testament used truths, and the then unused new pearl of great price in the marketplace of Matthew 13:45-46 are New Testament truths of Christ's day. They were new because they hadn't been given with the church yet, but they became presented by the Apostle Paul and others. Leaders who remain faithful at this Bible exposition calling amid satanic opposition through unbelievers and carnal believers who are influenced by Satan, so that many people can be discipled through God's word, will be greatly rewarded by God in eternity to come. That's taught both in Daniel 12:3 that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 13:43. Incidentally, that's one of the main reasons why I've been at Nepog now for 41 years, and I want to continue as the Lord leads, because I'm looking forward to the Lord's reward in eternity, because there is a reward for that. In my first church, I was very discouraged, and I quit and got out of that. The second church I was in for about 7 months, I actually got fired out of that situation. When I came to Nepog, my tail was dragging between my feet. And it was that way for about 10, 15 years until I got to understand the program of God as presented here. And all of a sudden, everything made sense. But this is the challenge. Pastors have to pay attention to this. Church leaders have to pay attention to this. The evil one has a program in which he's trying to upset discipleship, not only outside the church, in it. Believe me. And what we need to do is to stay faithful to the Lord and keep the focus on Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. So may we trust in Christ, who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life, and then may we follow God's leading in Scripture to be discipled in the way of righteousness. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you haven't left us to ourselves. You haven't left us to play a guessing game. You've laid out in your word the program, and you've told us about the work of the evil one. And we know that Satan uses, especially Bible teaching churches, as shiny brass targets. And we actually have a target on our chest in the angelic world. And our responsibility is to pay attention to the Lord, and as leaders, to keep focused on the word of God. And no matter what, not to get distracted from that, not to be discouraged from that, not to be upset from that, but to stay focused in the midst of the spiritual storm on the presentation of the word, that God's people might be discipled. And Father, I ask that as believers, we would understand that we are in the midst of an arena, a spiritual arena, not only in regards to the world itself, but at times even within the local church itself, because this is what Satan is trying to do. And what God wants us to do is to pay attention to his leadership and to stay faithful to him. We ask, Father, that if there are any unsaved members, who are people who are attending our church this morning, or people who may be listening to the ministry of the word by way of the MP3 and the internet, who as yet has not made the decision to believe in the Lord Jesus, that they would make that decision, that they would trust in him, that they might have eternal life, and then grow in grace and in the knowledge of the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.